listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Share the show with your friends by having them visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook or join our group on vk.com. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning and thanks for, well, good evening for us. Thanks for joining the English Express Radio Podcast. We can't stop. We're live, my friend. We're just continuing on. So anybody who's listening, looks like we've got a few. They're not calling in. Well, I probably didn't give the phone number. You can actually call into our show, 516-531-9602.
What's that number again, Cliff?
It's 516-531-9602. If you want to call in. I don't expect anybody to do so, because this is only the first time we've gone live, really. But
you know. You should probably get a phone screener, too, so you can like continue the show while someone else is answering a call.
Okay, I'm not that big time yet. But
so if any of you are looking for a job opportunity, it pays nothing, and you can't put us on a resume. We've got the job for you.
It's worthless. So join us online, theenglishexpress.com, where you can write us some letters. I have a very nice listener mail that we'll read here in a second, but I wanted to start with a really weird, immoral, and no-soul story. No, it is not another election story.
That's why I thought. What about Trump now?
Oh, boy, I'm through talking about Trump.
You over the Trump?
I'm over the Trump. A recently opened ice skating rink in Japan is being called immoral. How could an ice skating rink be immoral and weird?
Maybe it's really thin ice.
Well, it is being billed as the first of its kind in the entire world. This is the ice skating rink in the Space World theme park in Kitakyushu, and it features 5,000 frozen dead fish under the ice. And some of the fish are positioned in the shape of arrows, and others spell out the word hello.
Okay, that's awesome.
Space World has since posted pictures. Of course, they're deleted now, but they had captions such as, I am drowning, suffocating. Outrage public.
Clifton thinks this is just horrible. You can hear it in
the voice. I think this is just horrendous.
He's taken back.
Outrage public took to the page to register their complaints, many using language that I can't say on the air. But some of them I can. One of them said, "You should freeze your entire crew and all the members that enjoyed and made this." crabs, whale sharks, and rays.
Dang, whale sharks
were also spotted underneath the icy layers. But the park insists those were just blown up pictures. Amazingly,
I don't believe them.
I don't believe them either.
Did the sharks still have their fins?
Yes. the manager of the park said his staff members were shocked to hear that there was so much uproar. Because, the attraction had unprecedented popularity during the first 2 weeks in Japan. In Japan, the crazy for us is normal for them. All right. But
how many fish did you say were in the ice?
5,000.
Yeah, see, y'all are just oversensitive. Come on.
The park has planned to unfreeze the rink, pull out the fish that they say they were already dead from the local market, but they're going to take them out, conduct an appropriate funeral service.
Oh my gosh.
And turn the fish into fertilizer.
Don't give in to this. You're empowering them.
All right, let's get to...
Add more fish. Do it like those Jell-O fruit molds where you just add another layer and freeze that and add another. Start adding different animals. See how they act when it's cats and dogs.
Oh, my God. Wait, oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait. All right. We got this letter in earlier this afternoon. We got a lot of letters in today and yesterday. This one is from Peter.
Hi, Peter.
He says, hi, my name is Peter from Nigeria. We know Peter.
Did he have any pumpkin?
Pumpkin?
Did he eat any? You know those Peters.
He says, I'm a student of Christian religion studies, English, and literature from College of Education, Jindiru Mangu Plateau State in Nigeria. And I just wanted to write and tell you that I admire most of your comments, and I really must confess that you do a tremendous job.
Oh, thank you.
Kudos to you. Well, thank you, Peter. We really appreciate that.
But not even my own mother has told me that yet.
No, she has not. He says that he has a question that he would really, really like to ask. Now, this question lays more emphasis on the misconception of a certain angle of a relationship. So can you make a judgment on relationships?
I mean, I can. I can't vouch for its validity, but I can make a judgment.
Well, this kind of brings us to the love pile. Now, he does say that he wants to know what we think generally, okay? But there was a time that a couple of his friends and him, they've had arguments about this subject.
Okay.
The question is, can sex and sex alone keep a relationship together?
Absolutely.
What?
Yes, sex and sex alone can keep a relationship together.
I'm going to have to give that up. No,
nope.
No.
You're wrong.
Okay, look, sex and sex alone can keep lust together. It can be fun and all kinds of good times, but it can't keep a real, we're not talking about a fun time. We're talking about a real relationship.
Yeah, I honestly believe that sex can keep a relationship together for decades until one of them dies of natural causes.
You're wrong.
I'm not actually not wrong. Think about a dude who works like 14 hours, 10 to 14 hours a day. He comes home. All he has time to do is eat dinner, get his foot rubbed, and get his wank on with his wife. And then he goes to sleep and he goes to work the next day. And he does that for 50 years. And then he dies of a heart attack out on the cattle ranch. You're telling me that relationship didn't work with just sex, foot rub, and dinner?
I would say that that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship.
Okay. Wait a minute. I thought a relationship was an interaction between two people who are sharing their lives together.
Yeah, and that describes more than just sex. Durr.
No, I mean, foot rubs and dinner, yeah, but generally just sex. I mean, my cattle rancher hypothetical situation covers this. And I think that they loved
each
other.
Not a relationship, no.
In their own little three-hour window, I think they loved each other.
They loved having sex with each other, and that's
exactly.
That's not a real relationship.
It was good enough for Clyde and Maybelline to last 50. They have names now, Clyde and Maybelline. Keep up, people. they were happy for 50 years, Cliff, and all they had was sex, and they made it.
Yeah, because they didn't have time to do anything else. If they had had time to do something else, it wouldn't have been enough. Because when you spend time with somebody and you do only sex, you're going to find out that you don't have much else in common.
Well, hold on. All right. See, I've been with my wife for we're not legally married, but it's been like 12 years now. And I got to be honest, man, there's not a whole lot of things we see eye to eye on. There's not a whole lot of common ground between us. She's very political, far off on the left wing. I'm very antisocial and lean more towards the right. Anytime we talk about things outside of our immediate household, usually leads down the rabbit hole of a disagreement. So we don't have many shared hobbies or interests yet. Somehow, this might shock your core. We have a open communication and pretty stable relationship, even without shared interests.
But you actually talk and converse. There's something there besides sex.
What do you think we talk and converse about? You're really good at it, okay? We have a lot to talk about.
Well, his friends, Peter's friends, say that they are of the opinion that sex keeps you grounded and on puts you on the same social point of view. I definitely have to disagree with that, because having sex does not change people's minds on their social points of view. If somebody disagrees with you, they disagree with you, period.
I don't know. My girlfriend's mind is moving all the time during sex.
Wait a minute. Is that your girlfriend as opposed to your wife?
Say, remember how I said we weren't legally married? I switched the names, the title.
Okay, I thought this was your other girlfriend. And I was going to ask
about her on the radio.
I was going to ask, which of them are we talking about?
I can't remember. I lost my list.
All right. Well, Peter says, I'm so glad because my name will actually be heard on your radio station. So I wish you a wonderful and successful radio show.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, that was a very, very nice letter. Peter from, what was he, from Nigeria?
Yeah.
Write us anytime, Peter. We always we're always glad to have the listeners.
I do think that your friends are right that sex keeps you rooted in the relationship. Like one thing my sister's husband told me, he was like, I'm worried that your sister and I were running through some rocky times because we're just not having sex anymore. And I just think that when sex dies, the relationship dies. And I turned to him and I said, Matt, don't tell me about the sex you're having or not having with my sister.
Oh, I love how you call him out by name. All right. Well, continuing on the love pile, how do you have a great conversation with women? I mean, how do you even do that?
I mean, I think really great conversation, you have to have like this, you have to be comfortable and you have to get them talking and then start tying together the conversation. Like you pick things up in the beginning and you tie it in towards the middle and end as jokes. Like,
and then you have to listen to everything she has to say and agree with it. You have to be.
No.
You have to be whipped.
No. It sounded like a typewriter.
No, that's a whip. You're whipped.
Like a 22 rifle shooting a plastic bottle.
What do you think a whip sounds like?
Not like that. All right,
Well, if you find a better sound effect, let me know and I'll replace it.
Let me go get Temple of Doom real quick.
Writer Alicia Marie tells Men's Health how to polish your golden tongue. So you have to walk up to a woman and say, so, what do you do here in Sacramento, in Dumb City?
Cry and wish I was leaving.
This gives her a chance to talk about herself and gives you a chance to see what makes her tick. And definitely respect her answer no matter what she says. When she tells you about her proctology residency, assume she's already been the butt of every hiney joke from here to Uranus.
Wow.
So you have to answer as the woman. I'll be the man asking the questions. You be the woman, okay? All right, how about this one?
No, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
Come on, pretend. So, you've got an amazing voice.
Oh, yeah, I've been practicing on it my whole life.
You need to casually refer to a non-sexually focused physical trait that you find captivating. Look for the overlooked. Like hair, skin, hands, smile. Avoid anything that sets you up as a fetish person. Like, wow, you've got really nice feet. And keep it simple. Leave the poems to the dead poets.
You know, one thing that I've always felt was a pretty safe compliment is by talking about something that's not directly related to them. Like if you were going to talk about their feet, talk about the really nice pedicure that they got done. Like, oh, wow. You know, that's really cool how they put jewels in the nail polish. I didn't even know they did that. Where did you get that done?
My advice has always been be the person that you would want to go out with. Like, for example, if you walk up to
Boobs aren't that big.
You know what I'm talking about as far as personality goes. Like if you walk up to somebody and say and be like, you know, oh, you're so beautiful. Do you want to go out with me? You're like putting it all on her. Like she's so great. She's so awesome. Do you know, can I please go out with you? You're like, will you go out with me? But you're really asking, can I go out with you? Instead, you should be the fun person. You should be the one with the interest and say, hey, I'm going to the rodeo. You want to come with me? I'm going to the movies. Do you want to come with me? We're playing a game over at my house. You want to come join in? Because then you're like framing it as I'm the fun person. I'm going to have fun whether you come or not. I'm just inviting you to have fun with me. And we used to do.
So what movie are we going to see?
I'm not asking you out. buddy. We already saw Star Wars last time you were here.
I was all kinds of excited. I thought I was going to go out and get to be pretty for once in my life.
You will never be pretty. All right. So, honestly, I used to do that all the time when I was single. I was in student housing and they had like girl apartments and boy apartments. So you knew where all the girls were living and they had like six of them in one apartment. So we would go and, you know, hey, girls, we're from over in apartment 51 and we were just going to go hang out. Wanted to see if you would join us. I mean, unless they were ugly, then we would be like, hey, we just wanted to know if we could borrow a cup of sugar. And you move on to the next girl. I think it's good advice. Alicia Marie says that you should ask, so what do you do when you're not doing whatever?
Whatever you're doing in Sacramento from the earlier question.
Right. She says that's another fast way to jumpstart talk. And you'll set yourself apart from the last guy by remembering what she actually does in the first place. And acknowledging she probably does something besides wear shiny, wet lip gloss really, really well.
Jesus.
Or, here's an example. Let's just say science wasn't my strength. In other words, admitting that you have some weaknesses. And it can be about anything. Like, oh, I really like rock climbing. Oh, man, I'm not really good at that. Instead of being the guy who's like, why I love rock climbing, even though I've never, ever been in my entire life.
See, that's really hard for me, though, because, well, I'm fabulous at everything I do. I've yet to find anything I'm bad at, so I don't know how to be humble about those things.
No, you're not. if possible, follow up your admission of weakness with a strong point. Say, you know, I'm not really much of a mountain climber, but I can cook a mean souffle.
I'm not really good at failing, but if you need someone who succeeds, I'm your guy.
This is not, however, permission to start listing all of the things that you are good at. How about this one? Say, did you read about that car that runs on Chinese food and beer?
No, I didn't. That sounds amazing. Can I get one?
So they say, talk about something that you've read, seen, or experienced recently. Current events are ripe fodder for interesting conversation, but keep it light and avoid no-winner things like politics. Yeah, stay the hell away from that. And religion.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience, Clifton.
And avoid anything having to do with you or any of your bodily functions.
Boo. No, this lady is boring. Ignore that last one. People find farts awesome.
All right. So once you're together, do you know the rules of dating?
Make sure that they never get a chance to close the bathroom door.
Well, Men's Health says that dating etiquette is like the NBA regulations, constant tweaking and lots of gray areas. Hand checking. Is it allowed now? Or will she squawk? Like if you like look at her hands and try to hold her hands. So
I'm sorry. There's not a lot of gray areas in the NBA. I mean, the rules are pretty clearly defined.
Well, with dating, they are too. Oh, you know what I used to do to hands? I would say, hey, let me see your hand, okay? And you take a pen. You can try this, okay? And I say, now there's three mice, okay? There's a blind mouse, a slow mouse, and a deaf mouse, okay? Let's start with the fast mouse. Tell him when to stop. And you start to draw on her hand. She says, stop. And you stop. You go, okay, here's the slow mouse. Or the blind mouse. And you start to draw. She goes, stop. You go, okay, here's the deaf mouse. Tell him to stop. And of course he can't hear you, so you just keep drawing the line all the way up her arm.
I hope Valerie doesn't hear this podcast before I get to do that to her.
You totally should. I did that to my wife on our very first date. All right. Should a man pay on the first date?
I think it depends on the arrangement that the couple made before going out.
Very
I think
first
if
date.
They're it, well, even on first dates, there may have been an arrangement.
Okay, arrangements are different. Just in general, let's say there is no arrangement. Should a man pay, or is it like, is this like halvesies?
I think in general, man, all right, I'm gonna answer it two ways. First is my own personal answer. I go into any dinner, especially if I'm the one that asked her out, I go into the dinner assuming I'm going to pay. And unless otherwise told, I'm going to be pulling out my wallet, paying and tipping big. But if while I'm pulling out my wallet, she's like, no, 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 I got this. Well, then I'm going to push for to go halvesies. Or if she's like, let me get half of it, then I'm not going to complain or put up protest. I'll let her pick up half the tab. But I'm going to go into it thinking and expecting to pay. Now, do I think all guys should do that? I think it's probably better if all guys go into it thinking that it's 50-50.
I think that you're way overthinking this. 99% of men and women say that a man should pay on the first date. Which you generally said, but you used so many other words to get there.
No, I'm saying that I think that I should pay on the first date. I don't think that all men should pay on the first date.
All right, all right. Is it okay for a woman during that first date to ask a man, so, how much you bringing down?
No.
You're with the majority on that one. Only 41% thinks that's okay. And the majority of that, I'm sure, is women.
well, okay, hold on. In the right circumstance, I can see it. If I was already talking about my monthly income, and I'm like, oh, you know, with the money I bring home every year, I'm able to get this and this and this and this and this. And she's like, well, damn, how much do you make? Like, if that's the setup, I don't have a problem with it.
2/3 of women say a man's potential increases in line with his paycheck.
Well, who's really surprised about that one?
Nobody. Half feel that low-earning men, they're just looking for a sugar mama. 30% think men are looking for women with power jobs. Okay, those are the feminists. I've got a power job. That's what men really like. No, they really don't. 75% would date their neighbor. Would you date a neighbor?
How hot is she? Or he? I'm not going to judge.
Would you date a neighbor?
That's what I'm saying. How hot is the neighbor?
Do you swing both ways?
How hot is the neighbor?
Very hot.
I mean, probably. Why not?
Okay. Would you date...
So this one time, this guy was hitting on me, and he left a note on my door with a Band-Aid that had blood still on it. This is a true story, I swear. And he was like, the message was something like, I've seen you walking your dog, you're really hot, and I want to suck your dick. And it was a bloody Band-Aid that it was connected to my door.
Oh, gross. Yucky.
I'm like, can you at least, I mean, some scotch tape. It's really not that hard. You can afford it.
Would you date a best friend's ex?
Yeah. I tried. It didn't go over very well. Some knives were involved.
70% say don't do it. So 30% say, let's go for it. Would you date a sibling's ex? Would you date my ex?
Yeah.
Are you remembering that one?
Yeah. That's why I'm giggling. I'm
I don't know if she really qualifies as an ex.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying I would.
Well, you did, but we weren't really dating. That was just kind of a thing, you know what I mean? Anyway,
answer yes.
When you go on vacation, are you looking for a relationship if you're single? Are you like looking for a girl on vacation?
So I used to when I was a lot younger, you know, when I was like 17, 18, somewhere around there, I was really insecure and didn't really know much about myself kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think then, absolutely. But now, I don't think so. I think if I was going on vacation, I would be interested in the reason for my vacation. Am I going snorkeling?
Well, you're with somebody. I mean, single.
No. I mean, by myself. If I was completely single and I was going, say, to Barbados to go snorkeling, right? I would go there to snorkel, right? I wouldn't go there to try to find a relationship.
That's a good way to go. 45% say yes, they're looking to meet someone relationship worthy on vacation. Same number say they've had a one night stand on vacation.
Oh, hell yeah.
So have I. I can think of a number of them, but one of the weirdest situations, I'm not going to mention his name because I'm still friends with this person, but I was driving up. If he's listening, he'll know this story. And I don't know how surprised he'll be because, okay, so I was driving up to Utah when I was moving there, and my friend had a brother, like a half-brother, who lived up in Utah, okay? And we stopped by his house and with him, and when I was on my way back, I stopped to stay there again. Boy, was I to have him with me? I can't remember. But he was like a good-looking dude, and he had a monstrously large wife. He had like one of those fetishes. He liked large women. Okay. But there was a girl who was like a friend of the family. And, she was pretty good looking. And I could tell by the interactions, something was going on there.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. I mean, it was not hard to spot. I'm like, you know, regular family friends don't do that. Regular family friends don't say that. And they don't look at each other that way. So I spotted it. And so later on, she was sleeping on the couch later that night. And I'm saying, like, so what's going on here? And she, like, jumps and looks at me. And she's like, don't tell anybody. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. She goes, what do I got to do to make sure you don't say anything?
You're kidding me. I swear to God. Ew, did you take advantage of her? Oh, Clifton.
She was a good looking girl, man.
You're gross.
And I left the next day and I never saw or talked to her ever again. I don't know what happened there, but I don't want to know.
Bad boy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your cheating heart, how to know if your significant other is running around on you. And men don't just forget about anniversaries. It turns out they forget almost everything. And family values. So we'll be right back here on the English Express radio podcast.
Years of research, testing, and careful planning thrown right out the window. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience means she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.
My other button wasn't working.
Huh?
I pushed my button and it wasn't working, so I went with an opener.
Man, I push my button all the time. It always works. I don't know what's wrong
with you.
All right,
we only got a couple minutes here. So how do you know if you're your significant other's cheating?
Dick pics on her phone.
I'm going to go with yes. Well, you can settle your suspicions with a few good sniffs in their car. Raymond Greed, author of Cheaters, 180 Telltale Signs Your Mate is Cheating and How to Catch Them. He says your car is filled with all kinds of clues to a cheating heart. Here's some signs to look for. Gas fumes. Your significant other is probably trying to cover up the scent of the other person by spilling gas in the car.
Holy Christ, how desperate are you people?
Very.
Has nobody heard of Febreze?
Wet towels. If your love suddenly starts stocking up on cleanup tools, she's probably flooring it with another guy. Strange stains. If you're finding mysterious splotches on the front passenger seat or on the back of the car... Chances are they're messing around with somebody else.
Don't get a black light.
This is my favorite. When she wakes up and she's startled to be in this bed.
Yeah, that might be a good sign.
It could be, and she's confused at not waking up in her other lover's arms. All right. Men don't always remember everything, do they?
No, God. If people didn't keep talking about it, I wouldn't even know that Christmas is coming up. I swear, like, everyone keeps bringing it up. I'm like, oh, Christ, is that next week? Oh, my God.
Health Day News reports a Norwegian study, a shocking Norwegian study that nobody has ever heard before. It turns out men tend to be more forgetful than women.
Yeah.
Somehow they were surprised to see that. It's not been documented before. Jostein Holmen, a professor with Norwegian University of Science, and says in a statement released by the university, it's also surprising that men are just as forgetful whether they're 30 or 60 years old, so it's not an age thing. Results were unambiguous. They asked almost 50,000 participants
How
well they remembered things, and men reported having a much poorer memory than women did. They don't have any idea why. It's an unsolved mystery. But it can't be considered definitive because researchers did not directly test memory. They relied on a survey. So,
well, and the other thing is, like, I think guys forget the crap that's not important to them.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what I think it is, because I got to tell you, I still know all the words to Anachron in Heaven. And
I'd have you sing it, but we don't have time.
I remember a lot of crap is what I'm saying, but I mean, my wife's birthday? Meh.
All right, let's just finish up with good or family values. 2,500 adults were asked how they felt about family values. Should a couple stay together for children?
Depends.
51% said absolutely, 35% of women said yes, so men are more likely to stay for the kids. What age should children move out?
18.
Just over half said once they can afford it. 18% said until 25, 14% said when they're married. I say 18. Should children be allowed to pray in school?
Yes, but they should not be forced to.
Okay, I like that. Should there be laws banning the use of cell phones while driving?
No.
78% said there should be. Those people are idiots.
78% of people are wrong.
How do you feel about random drug testing in schools?
I think that it's BS. I think if a person is getting A's, they shouldn't be drug tested.
I like that.
Yeah, if you're getting D's and F's, you better watch out.
3/4 like it. All right. Well, that's our show for today. Write us online, info@theenglishexpress.com. Check out the audio files for all of our shows at our website, theenglishexpress.com. Until next week, thanks for joining us, guys. Have a great time.